Accession number 31414.
Mike Juni Reel 5.
Staff Violet School. That's Cork, Cardmill, Lake District, Lancashire.
And why were you sent there? What was the purpose of that?
But it was a staff pilot course. That was a course for the where they produced the flying instructors. So I was sent there, and I completed that very, very well indeed.
This was all in Polish?
No. That was British station. That was first British station. The previous two ones, that's the Tigermoss in Oxford, they were Polish. But that one was British. But was training, they were training Polish pilots, French pilots, Norwegians, and also...
But in English?
In English, yes.
So your English by now was pretty good.
Oh, I knew English right from the beginning. My English was better than it is now, most certainly. Was better than any other Polish pilots who were here in this country. For a long time. I was very, very, very fluent almost. But so, anyhow, I've stepped to Cork. The place was called Cardmill. That's on the Irish Sea coast. Isle of Man there and North Ireland and that sort of thing. And we used to fly, most of the flying was done over the Irish Sea. And that was quite hard flying. You were flying 10 hours every day or every night. The changes were fortnightly changes. You would fly 1, 2, or 5 hours, and then in the afternoon next 5 hours.
And what planes were you using?
Well, Ansons and Oxfords. Ansons, mostly Ansons. And they used to call them Flying Veranda. Very good plane, though. Very safe, anyhow. So I finished the course in good position. And from there I was sent as a staff pilot to Dumfries.
Now, time again, where would we be in terms of time now?
This winter time.
Of
Dumfries would be winter time.
Of 44. So that 43 to 44, yeah, that yeah. Whole year is spent in training.
44. And the winter time, I remember, it was snow and very, very cold. There I stayed in Dumfries fortnight. After fortnight, a chappie came along from Cork, Cardmill, and told me, we want you at the station you were trained, staff pilot. We want you to fly there as a staff pilot originally. So I went back and started to fly and instruct as well. Then I was sent...
Instructing Polish, other Polish pilots?
Polish, not only Polish, but that was the reason I was, because there were some Polish pilots. And the funny part was that we had a pilot who had the tours, flying tours over the continent. They would come because they became a little bit messy with the... didn't stick to the rules.
Well, I mean, there was always I wanted to ask you about this. The Polish pilots were always meant to be a little bit of a law unto themselves, in that they were so determined to fight that once they were in the air, the discipline went.
Oh, that's true. They were very often disregard orders, and because there was a German in front of them, then so instead of keeping with the rest, they would fly and very often get killed because of that. We had accidents of Polish war pilots, actually, the 41 pilots, that were killed there because they were so brave, they thought, doing things that they shouldn't do on the aircraft. But there you are. Anyhow, I've returned to Cork as a staff pilot originally, and then I was sent to several advanced courses. I can't remember the places. We were usually about a fortnight or something. And I became flying instructor.
So this is in a very short time, really, from a year.
Very short time. Yes.
Basically a year. Yes. You go from not being able to fly to becoming an instructor.
I was flying instructor at the Cork, because we had staff pilots and flying instructors there. So I became flying instructor. But that was practically the end of the war, really.
So this is now 44, 45, coming up to 45. What happens then? What happens?
No. Then, of course, the war ended. War ended, and we were asked, especially the ones who knew English well, to join the National Assistance Board. A team of experts from National Assistance Board came to our place there, which was Milton Mowbray then.
National Assistant Board.
The civilian, sort of. Now, what happened? The 1947 Peace Settlement Act came to being, and the National Assistant Board was charged with organized Polish hostels and
to look after the Polish
people. Was the result of Churchill's advice.
And these were Poles who'd been fighting in the services?
Some of the military personnel, some were others personnel.
Refugees from Europe?
Who came from Africa and that sort of things, or civilians.
But what happened from 1945 to 1947?
Well, 1945 to 1948.
No, I'm thinking of you.
1946, we were still, till 1946, we were still in force.
In the Polish, now, you were in the RAF or in the Polish?
We were still in Blackpool. Newton.
But what was the name of your squadron? What was the?
I was not in the squadron. It was freelance.
And a contract.
No, cabbage. I was sent to the British station. All the time I was on the British station, more or less as a British pilot would be.
But you had a rank?
But I got both ranks. Yeah,
you were
Polish and the British. Yes.
Confusing, but you saluted British officers, yes. I suppose.
But I was used by British because of my knowledge of language, and then whenever they met me, that was the reason, really. So I never went back to Polish squadrons.
I see.
I finished my life, flying life in the school, British schools, flying schools.
Yes.
You leave the force. When do you leave the force finally?
Now, in 1946, Polish Resettlement Corps came into being. We were told you join the Polish Resettlement Corps and you got the place to stay 2 years, in which you can find your job for yourself and that sort of thing. So we resettled and find a job for you. So the station I was on living at the time was Milton Mowbray, that's aerodrome, the airfield there. And there, people from National Assistance Board came along, team, to choose some staff for Polish hostels. And they said, we want you. Would you like to join us as a member of National Assistance Board staff? Well, that was a job. I said yes, and I was put on the list, and they told me in January 48, I got a letter from them saying that you'll be a liaison officer in Polish Hostel Fairfoot, just outside Cirencester there. And indeed, in March 1948, I was asked to report myself there, and I came to Fairfoot and became liaison officer. That's the chappie who liaison between the British members of staff and the Polish residents.
But this is now a civilian job. This is you're not part of the army. You're not. This is
no. That's the end of the army.
I see.
I got a release from the army to join. Of course, I was sent to get the uniform, the civilian
demob suit.
Demob suit.
And did you? How did you reunite with your wife?
Well, that was I was coming
sorry,
to.
Sorry. Okay.
Now I received a letter through Red Cross that my wife is looking for me. That was a year before.
In 1947,
I received a letter from the Red Cross that my wife is looking for me. And she lives in Poland now.
Had you tried to contact her?
Well, I tried, but she in Hungary, but she left Hungary in 1945. She left Hungary and went back to Poland, to Warsaw. And from there, she contacted the Red Cross to find what happened to me. In 1947...
2 years.
I received a letter that would, wife, would you like her to come along and join you? I say, well, of course I would. So the letter went back and so on. And in 1948, I was told your wife is on your way. He's in Germany now. Now, again, she crossed the border, because that was a difficulty, you probably realize. She gone through East Germany, spent the night on the stadium, the Hitler Stadium, remember where the Olympic Games were played in 1936. I spent the night there, crossed the border again to West Germany, and from West Germany she sent the letter that she's in West Germany and she will be coming to it. They say, all right, so I'll make arrangements for her to come. And in March 1948, I got the job of operation officer. I also got a letter that she's on the way to there. So I went to London, Paddington Station, and there she was waiting for me.
And this is after eight years?
Over 8 years, yes.
Did you recognize each other?
And she went to it, so I took her to Fairfoot Hostel there.
But it was a very emotional meeting.
Oh, absolutely, very emotional. But there's no one, hardly anyone on the station then. So we were the two people, actually, because I was late a little bit, well, a few minutes, when the people left the train. And anyhow, the only word, people were not allowed to stay on the station. They were asked to leave the station, unless they were joining train. Anyhow, that's married life started again. And we felt a little bit apart, not quite the same, but it took about several days before we sort of...
You were strangers. You were a different man to the young
man,
Pole who'd left
right.
innocent of war in 1940.
Absolutely. So
one other thing, Mike, I'm very curious. What did she say about the conditions in Poland? Because Poland was going through a horrible time.
Oh, that was horrible. She was in soap, working in a soap factory. They were producing soaps, and that's what she was working. But she spent till 1945 in Hungary, state where?
In Esztergom.
And then they sent them to Poland, whether she forced or not. Probably not, but she wanted to go to Poland back, and anyway, she went, and then she started to look for me, sent a letter she sent through the Red Cross. It was quite a time before I got it.
And one other question, what did she say about her wartime experience in Hungary from 40 to 45?
Well, in Hungary, she had more same fighting there because the Russians were there. And she said the Russians came on, and there was a fighting there, and the same as during the war, really. Not that she quiet time had after the war ended, 1945. And of course, journey to Poland, that was an effort too. It wasn't as easy as all this. But she had some members of her family there in Warsaw. So she spent the time. 3 or 4 years with them there, and then eventually she arrived in this country and joined me. And then my daughter was born, and she was born 1950, Kasia.
And then you worked with the Polish community ever since?
Polish community, I started my work. That was bad time. Bad time because of the situation existed. Mistrust each other. Really,
In what way? Between the Poles, you mean? Or?
But not between the Poles. Between the Poles to a certain extent. Mostly between the British staff and the Polish residents. You know, this is mostly because misunderstanding. They didn't know why it happened, what happened. Why couldn't they go back to Poland? They didn't realize that. But they soon learned, once some of the Polish people went to Poland, and they just disappeared, vanished. So they soon learned. But even so, there was British people who were not so keen to having foreigners in there. What has happened? There you have hundreds of thousands of Polish people in this country taking up jobs, taking up accommodation, whilst British soldiers are coming, millions of them coming back from war, may not find a job, may not get the houses. Well, they were wrong, of course they were wrong. But that applied mainly to the lower class people, people who have soldiers. And I understood that, I knew that people will be a little bit upset because they think, oh, the job I could have is somebody else got it, some foreigner got it. Well, even Americans were not treated after the war ended the way one would expect. Go home, Yankee, that was a well-known phrase used in the country. But the fault was on both sides, one side and the other side. The British side was that they were anxious about getting jobs and homes. And on our side, we are anxious to go back to parents, which we couldn't because of some previous arrangements made between the government, the Russian government, the British government, and the Yalta. You probably know that. That was.
What about you? Did you want to go back, or you thought? Did you want to go back?
Oh, I wanted to go back to Poland. Of course, I did. But at the same time, I understood the position of this government. The very little they can do about it, really. The Russians were anxious to keep hand on the Germans, and therefore they must have entrance to the East Germany through Poland. And that's obvious politically. And eventually it happened that was 50 years lasted the Russian domination of Polish politics.
And now, hopefully, it's finished. Now it's over. You don't want to go back now? You look like you're in good health.
Oh, there's no point to go back. My country was the Ukraine.
It's Ukraine, yeah.
My family's and everything else was there. And I got my daughter here, and my wife died here some 5 or 6 years ago. She was 89 then. I am 95. What do I do? I'm quite happy. I've got a home. I'm still in good condition physically. Good.
Well, that's good. Well, Mike, thank you very much. That's been fascinating. Really, really interesting. I think we'll stop. I mean, do you have anything else? Do you think that I think we've covered everything very thoroughly, and you are one of the ideal interviewees for someone like me because I don't have to say very much because you are telling such a good story and you tell it so well. It's that was wonderful. Thank you.
I got an MBE, by the way. You know that.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I got an MBE. I got
bravo.
Polish cross. I got several crosses. Most decorated man, actually, they say here.
Fantastic.
Polish Polonia Restituta, that Poland reborn from the president of the Polish Republic. And of course, MBE, I've got 1976 from the Queen in Buckingham Palace. And then before that, 1975, I got Polish Cross of Merit. And the military, of course, Cross of Valor.
The British, what, you've got the MC, the British?
Pardon?
The British Military Cross.
Oh, no, British, British, not British, I've got Polish.
Polish, of course, sorry.
Because British, the nearest is George's Cross, probably would be. Hmm. And also Victoria Cross, that's equivalent to Virtuti Militari, Polish.
The top medal.
That's a very high honor.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I'll switch off there.